Listener supported. WNYC Studios. Our next story comes to us from a Snap Judgment listener, Maria Sarator Gunter. But this story didn't come easy. In order to tell this tale, you have to first journey through the darkness. Maria's story is performed by our own Julia DeWitt.
My birthday is the day after Christmas, so I get twice as many presents as everyone else. But my favorites are always the one I get from my aunt. For years, she's bought me collectible dolls. And now, at the end of high school, my collection is massive. But I'm still excited to add another one. I hold and touch the box from my aunt leading up to my birthday. I want to open it early so badly. I'm normally really patient about gifts, but this package is different. It's calling to me. Finally, Christmas is over and my birthday arrives. I remove the wrapping, open the box, slowly peel back the protective foam, and there's this doll. My mother, sister, and father, puzzled by my reaction, all want to see this doll. I remove it from the box and place him on the table in front of us. It's a male figure with a broad chest, maybe 18 inches tall, wears gray satin pantaloons and a pink satin open-collared shirt. The exposed legs and arms are stark white, each leading to dark black hooves instead of feet and hands. The porcelain face is that of a horse, with blazing green eyes ringed in yellow with flecks of red. On top of his head is not a hat or a crown, but a glimmering, twisted horn of silver. It's a beastly unicorn prince. We look at it stunned, and it stares back at us. From every angle, it seems to be looking at us with that menacing glare. Finally, my mother breaks the silence. "Put it away, so we can have cake." I place it on a shelf across the room, and we proceed with the cake, and the festive mood is restored. And then, it's the mirror in the guest room. The mirror is mounted to the wall shared with the shelf on which the doll sits, and it's fallen off the wall. The mirror has simply broken to pieces. Not knowing what else to do, we clean up the mess and just go to bed. I take the doll with me to my room and put it on my dresser. That night, I wake up in the middle of the night. My bedroom has become so cold. It's late December, but this is Houston, Texas, so the temperatures at night rarely dip below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. I step out of my room, and I'm surprised to find that on the other side of the door, the temperature is much warmer. So I grab my pillow and a blanket, and I go to sleep on the couch in the family room. I'm just about to drift off to sleep when I hear a noise coming from the kitchen. It's like the click-clack tapping of feet. Little feet, and lots of them. I convince myself maybe it's a bug outside or some water dripping from the tap, but it persists with an irregular pattern. Whatever's making this noise is just steps from me, which means that it can see me. I'm so frightened that I can't move, and I start to cry. My mom hears me, and she comes out to the living room. "Why are you crying? And what are you doing out here?" I tell her about the cold in my room and the sounds of little feet walking across the tiles in the kitchen. She clearly doesn't believe me, so she turns off the light and lies down next to me to prove I'm just imagining things. And immediately, the clattering starts again. She grips my arm, slowly turns on the light, and then she goes to the kitchen. Nothing's there. She stays up reading next to me the rest of the night with the lights on. The next day, my mother calls her sister to ask about the doll. All my aunt says is, "It called to me." It caught her eye, but she wasn't convinced it was the right gift for me. She went home that evening without a gift at all and had a dream about that doll. So she returned to the shop the next day to buy it for me. I decide that the doll has to go. I take it outside to our concrete slab of a patio to smash it. The first strike on the concrete, I brace for the flying shards of porcelain, but nothing happens. So I strike it again. Nothing. I'm sure a third time will do it, but then, still, nothing. Shocked, I turn its face towards me, and the red-rimmed eyes meet my own. And then I feel something come over me, but it isn't fear, more like an acceptance of the doll's evil. And then almost without thinking, I take it back into the house and leave it on the kitchen counter, just lying on its back with those wild eyes staring up at the ceiling. That night, the temperature in my bedroom is normal, but I'm still too scared to sleep. I only finally fall asleep when I take the nightlight from the bathroom and place it on the wall next to my bed. And then suddenly, I'm awake again. That noise, the click, clack, tapping of the little feet are back, and I can hear it getting louder, closer. I pull the covers tight around me and repeat to myself, "It's just your imagination. It's just your imagination. It's just your imagination." And then I see the light. A light so bright it's blinding, and it's pouring into my room through the cracks around, above, and below my door. I try to turn the lamp on, but I can't move. I try to call out, but as wide as I open my mouth and as hard as I try to scream, only air escapes my lungs. No sound comes out at all. I'm paralyzed with terror when the door begins to shake loudly like someone's violently trying to get in. The light's getting brighter. I need to shield my eyes, but I'm too afraid to look away. And then, like a bolt of lightning, the shaking suddenly stops. At first, I still can't move, but then as the tension slowly recedes, I smell fire. My muscles relax, and I reach for the lamp. Cautiously, I creep out of my door and open it. Can see a warm glow from the family room. I call out, "Who's there?" My father's voice returns sternly, "You should be in bed." I approach him in the family room. He started a fire in the fireplace and is stoking it. He puts his arm around me. "You can go to sleep now," he says gently as he kisses my head. I peer into the fireplace and I see it. The last smoldering remains of the doll.
Thank you, Maria Sarator-Gunter, for living and sharing your story with The Snap. The original score is by Renzo Goriel and Davey Kim.